Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and a bunch of other random stuff. I am Mark Sadowski.
And I am Matt Hoffman.
And Joseph Ferreria has been called into service. He is servicing our nation's wire. He's at work. I got nothing.
He's making sure that we can all communicate with each other.
Right. He's making sure that somebody has HBO.
Yeah.
And
or making sure that the rotary phones still work or something.
Right. And in the end, isn't that the real hero?
Boo!
Well.
Yeah, it is something to that effect. I don't really know. I don't know a whole lot about it.
So anyway, I am back. I have been away for what seems like years, and it's just been crazy work, and I'm glad to finally be back on an episode. I think the last thing I was able to do is just squeeze in a few little appearances where I would bother you guys on Skype while you guys were recording and then pop back out.
Yeah, bother was that's a good way to describe it.
Oh yeah, I mean that's what the emails were saying. But yeah, it's good to finally be back and just to let people know, I have been doing a contract assignment with MIT, and now I get to tell people that I went to MIT. I was physically there, and I physically purchased a MIT hat. And
well, if that's all it takes, then I went to Dartmouth and Harvard.
There you go. That's a spirit. That's a spirit. Looks good on the resume.
It does. And I'll tell you what. I think I need that right now. Just give me that. Because with this like little thing, you know, where like sometimes you're on the show and sometimes, you know, a lot of times you're not because your work schedule prevented you from coming on. And now Joe has, you know, he's doing whatever he's doing, you know, being a Cape Crusader or whatever. And it makes me feel like I'm not working hard enough, like in my daily life, because I never really have a good excuse to miss the show.
Yeah, that sounds like something a Harvard guide would say. So, hey, fits well. I was working on email marketing for MIT's alumni department, where we were doing MIT is just finishing up their Better Worlds campaign, and it was really, really exciting because this is something that's been going on across the globe. They would have these huge presentations on what MIT grads have been doing, what kind of innovations that have been happening. I mean, the most recent one that everybody will relate to is the discovery of those exoplanets, and MIT grads have had like a tremendous role in that. And so, yeah, this has been a big, huge campaign to bring back the alumni, to both new and old, to, you know, see what MIT has been doing and to raise money for brand new, campus expansion and new facilities. It's really, really awesome to see what MIT is doing. And, you know, I got to see, you know, behind the scenes how, you know, what exactly money is going to. And I, you know, when I first started with MIT, I know we're going to talk about iPhone photography in just a minute, but I just wanted to mention this. I thought it was like, yeah, MIT has all the money in the world. No, they don't. the tuition goes to pay the bills, and everything else is essentially, you know, some federal funding and some alumni donations, and it's, you know, tremendous to see what they're able to do.
Well, they shoot a lot of their money into space, don't they?
Literally. And we applaud them for it.
That's what I like. That's the thing I really admire about MIT is the shooting money into space.
Yeah. And, oh my God, it's just been really cool. And then there was one day in particular where, they were doing, a big presentation for the students and the faculty. And, you know, we spent the day just listening to a lot of these stories. And I'm sitting there and I'm realizing, I'm like, hang on. This is where Tony Stark was standing when he made that presentation in Captain America Civil War. And I'm like, yeah, this doesn't look anything like the movies. The movies totally got it wrong. But it was like really cool to like tie it together to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And it was just a really great time. It was a lot of work. God, like just the commute itself was killer, but I had a tremendous time. And I'm it's good to be back, but you know, I'm gonna miss MIT. It was a good noble cause that I was working for.
That's awesome.
So what have you been up to, Harvard man?
Oh my goodness! Everything I do is purely a selfish pursuit.
Oh yeah, see, like I said, you're already talking like a Harvard grad. Five 1-star review from Harvard grads.
Sadly, for whatever reason, not a whole lot of iPhone photography, but I did do a kayak race this past weekend. It was kind of like a spur of the moment thing. It was like a race that a buddy of mine and I, we've been planning to go do for like the last like 3 years, and it's on a river, and the river is like never high enough for some reason when the race date comes along. So they end up moving it somewhere else and having like this lame race that's like not really on a river. And so we haven't gone. And so it was like Saturday morning, my friend texts me and he's like, the race is going on tomorrow. And I was like, sweet, we should go. Let's go. So we went and did this race, and I took pictures, but I didn't shoot with my iPhone. I just can't really be bothered anymore with like waterproof cases and trying to deal with the iPhone. Like when I'm in my kayak, it just seems like I'm probably going to drop it in the water and lose it, and it's more hassle than it's worth.
Yeah, I could totally relate to you. When I was on vacation camping with the family, it was me and my son in one kayak and my daughter and my wife in the other. And I was using the spare iPhone, and I had that in like 3 Ziploc bags just to keep it safe. And even then, when I pulled it out, I was like, I'm going to drop it, even though I have a firm grip. I can't. No, I got to put it back.
Yeah. So I used my Nikon, I think it's called an AW130 or something to that effect.
Yep.
It's like a Coolpix, like one of those rugged cameras.
You know, by the way, technically, still a tiny shutter.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. So I use that, and it's funny because, we're racing, okay? It wasn't like a mass start. It was basically like start a person every minute.
Yeah.
So you're kind of spread out or whatever, but we're racing, and my buddy started ahead of me, like 1 minute ahead of me. So like for most of the race, he was like a few hundred yards ahead of me. And some of the race like passed through some like just really cool scenery, like these really cool cliffs and stuff that like came right down into the river. And so I got some good shots, you know, with him in the picture, and took the time to take some photos while we were doing the race. Now the funny thing about that is so there was like categories in the race, right? Like
right.
Kind of based on like age and like the length of the kayak or canoe that you were paddling and stuff. And I got third place in my category. I lost to the second place person by 12 seconds.
Ooh.
So that got me thinking, I probably shouldn't have been taking pictures.
That's worth it.
But I actually had some other issues as well. Like, I don't normally paddle on rivers.
Mm-hmm.
And this river was like, it's kind of like a smaller, like more narrow river filled with rocks. And I'm finding out now that I don't know how to read a river to save my life. So at this one spot, I ended up getting like hung up on this gravel bar, and I was in like 6 inches of water, and the kayak wasn't really floating anymore. And it basically just got to the point where I couldn't really scooch myself out of it. So I had to actually like get out of my kayak and like drag it over to like the deeper part of the river.
Yeah.
Get back in and continue on my way. So I lost a lot of time there. But still 12 seconds. But, the race was fun. I got, it was 8 miles down a river. I got 12th place overall
nice.
In the race, and my buddy got 15th place, so that was pretty cool. And, yeah, that was a good start to the kayaking season.
Dave in the chat room asks, so no paddle fights to get ahead?
No, I was never really close enough to anybody. You know, I did catch up to my friend and – basically just begged him to share his water with me because I actually lost my water bottle.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know. That was a fun experience. Taking pictures with that Nikon is kind of cool in the fact that, like, after the race, we were sitting around, like, under this pavilion at this park, like, kind of waiting for them to hand out, like, the awards and stuff like that. And they had, like, food and stuff. So while we were sitting there waiting, I was able to connect my phone to the camera through like Wi-Fi. The camera has like its own little Wi-Fi
nice.
Thing or whatever. And I was able to transfer all the pictures to my phone. And then I just like quickly edited a handful of them and just texted them to my buddy while we were sitting there waiting. So that was pretty cool.
That is awesome. I am loving that feature more and more. And I do the same thing with my Fujis. Anytime I'm out, I immediately transfer it. And then if I want to, I could print it to the little Fuji printer that I have.
Yeah, that is cool. The only thing I don't like is that it transfers like a pretty small file. So like when I got home, I ended up plugging the SD card into the phone with the little SD card to Lightning adapter and uploading like the full size pictures to my phone.
Is there a way in the settings that you can send a larger file?
I gotta look. I haven't found it. I thought I found it like earlier. Like I had noticed when I first got the camera that it was, you know, sending over these like pretty small files. They were literally like 1.5 megabyte files.
Yeah.
And I went in and I was like, oh, I think this is why. And I changed some setting and then I didn't use the camera again until just this past weekend. And apparently that wasn't the right setting.
Right on. Well, good
I'll
luck.
I'll figure it out.
No yeah.
It's still cool technology.
That it is. That it is. And I loved those photos of the kayak trip. That was pretty cool.
Thanks.
I saw them on the Instagram. And yes. Speaking of Instagram, oh snap! That's I'm horrible at the transitions, even still.
I liked it. Assemble!
There is some nefarious evil doing in Instagram land. Some claim, allegedly, on Petapixel and a bunch of other websites. A lot of people have been reporting that they are being shadow banned from Instagram. And a shadow ban is not like a regular ban in that, you know, a regular ban is how it sounds. You're basically kicked out, you're notified, and, you know, whatever happens, happens after that. Whether you try to fight your way back or, I don't know, I've never been banned before, knock on wood. But shadow ban is a little bit different in that you can access your account and everything looks just fine according to you. And the only difference is that everybody else will not see your post. So everything is all hunky-dory, except the rest of the world somewhat isn't seeing your stuff. And correct me if I'm wrong, Matt. But,
so you would notice, though, because you would not see – you wouldn't see your usual engagement. You would like – you would not be getting likes or comments or anything.
Right. And so what I didn't figure out from the article is that a lot of people were still seeing engagement, but only from people that were following them, if I'm not mistaken. Can you walk us through this one?
Yeah, that's what it sounded like. So it sounds like, this is kind of, I don't know, like, if there's particular sized accounts that this is affecting or whatever, but according to the Petapixel article, it's affecting probably more business accounts than just personal accounts. But what's going on is, everyone is using hashtags, to have their photos get seen and to increase engagement, likes, and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
And it seems like only people that already follow the account are seeing the photos that are being posted because they're just showing up in that person's feed as they're scrolling through, right?
Right.
But if someone was to search the hashtag, let's just pretend for a second it's the Tiny Shutter hashtag that they is one of the hashtags that a person used that's being affected by this shadow banning thing. A person who is not their follower could just type in, let's just say it's me, type in M. Hoffman photo and go to my page and kind of look at my pictures, right, and scroll through and see all my pictures. And in particular, maybe they like the second picture in my feed right now. And they click on it, they're looking at it, they go through the hashtags and they see Tiny Shutter. So then they go to the Tiny Shutter hashtag and they don't see my picture there.
Right.
Right. So this is really just, it's noticeable if you just posted the picture, and it obviously if the hashtag's not like, a crazy popular hashtag that's getting like thousands of photos, hashtagged with it, every minute or whatever. We'll post a link to the Petapixel article because it has some examples that, some screenshots where they kind of show, where this is going on, where you'll see the picture like maybe under one hashtag and then not see it under another.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is a weird thing. And so, yeah, Mark, you and I were talking about it the other day and trying to figure out, like, is this something that we think that Instagram is like really like doing like purposely to accounts, or is this maybe just some sort of like glitch or something?
I think it could be a combination of A and B. Now, personally, in addition to my regular Instagram account, which is Mark Sadowski, Mark with a C, I also have another Instagram account called Sadowski Photography, and that's geared towards my wedding photography business. And that is a business account. And before I go into what's happening on Instagram, I'll go into what's been happening with my Facebook account, because I have a Facebook page for Sadowski Photography. And early on, when I was very active with the page, I would do blog posts. I would promote this wedding, that wedding. Here's what I've done. And I'm sharing it on Facebook. And so they would get coverage and they would get a lot of, page views for the people that were following. Mm-hmm. And it was good. And then after a while, it started to deteriorate. And what would happen is, Facebook would give me that taste of, hey, you're getting a lot of publicity. Now you got to boost it to, you know, to promote the page to for everybody else to see it. So I think initially there's this, you know, they don't filter much, but when they see that there's activity happening on a regular basis, they start pulling it back and wanting you to pay for the publicity, basically pay for the promotion, which, you know, it stinks, but, you know, it's their company. They need to, I guess, make money somehow. It doesn't seem like a cool way to do it. It's not very, I feel it's not very honest, but, you know, c'est la vie.
Yeah, and I'm still trying to wrap my head around this and come up with, come up with a solid idea of what I think is going on here. But I'll tell you what, like,
well, let me just finish the statement.
Okay.
So that's what's been happening to me on Facebook, and that's what a lot of people have experienced on Facebook. Now it's to the point where I really don't post any of my posts on the Facebook page. If I have like a certain announcement that I need to make, I'll do it. And then occasionally I'll post a wedding here or there. But for the most part, I just don't do it anymore because it's not worth the time and effort. Now, what would happen is, you know, I'll let the bride and groom do the sharing, and that becomes viral, and it generates a lot of traffic. So I allow that to happen. So bringing it back to Instagram owned by Facebook, I believe this is what's happening. I believe that anybody who has a business account or has, you know, a good, healthy amount of traffic coming in, and if you post regularly, I think what they're playing with is, you know, just pulling somebody's feed back. So people within their follower list is getting they're getting the views, but the exposure outside within the hashtags, I think they're toning it back and trying to encourage you to promote yourself and spend some money to then, you know, help generate revenue. I think that's what's happening. And what I feel is, and again, this is purely speculation on my part, I think it could be just like an algorithm going out of control, because I think in their response, they said that they're always looking to improve themselves, you know, a lot of marketing speak, back talk and all that. I think that's all it is. I think they went one decibel too high, and this is what's happening.
Well, here's something that Instagram said that I kind of take issue with. So they're aware of this problem because
yes,
they've heard the complaints, right? So on the Instagram for Business Facebook page, they had a post where they kind of addressed this. And in the second paragraph, they say, when developing content, we recommend focusing on your business objective or goal rather than hashtags. Having a growth strategy that targets the right audience is essential to success on Instagram. And then they go on to kind of blabber about, like, you know, how to make good engaging posts on Instagram. But that
defeats the purpose.
Sentences are completely ridiculous, right?
Absolutely.
So you're gonna post on Instagram, and you have to come up with a strategy that targets the right audience, but don't focus on hashtags, which is the way to target your audience, right?
Yeah.
What other way is there?
Well, if you're solely using Instagram, there is no other way. You need to rely on hashtags. It's kind of like a catch-22, and this is just as a small business owner who is focused on selling photos. You know, it's come down to the point where it's, you know, Instagram just isn't cutting it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you have to post good content.
Yes.
So no amount of hashtags are going to help you if you're posting garbage. You know, if your photos are not interesting or engaging, then, you know, I don't think it matters what your hashtags are. You know, people aren't going to click on, if they're searching that hashtag, they see your picture. If it's a pile of garbage picture, you know, they're not going to click on it.
I don't know. We've seen some really weird accounts.
Yeah, I guess, but I don't know. I mean, I just think like maybe I just don't have like a head for marketing. I don't know, but like when it comes to Instagram, like I don't know what other way there is to get the people that I think would be interested in my pictures to see them other than to use hashtags that I think, one, that they might be searching, and two, apply to that particular photo.
All right. So this is going to sound weird, and I am going to
already hate it. I don't like what you're going to say.
And you know what? I don't either, because what I'm going to say is Instagram is absolutely right. And you can't, and in this roundabout way, you can't trust, you cannot trust Instagram to promote your own stuff. If you are promoting, all right, let's take photography out of the equation.
Okay, wait. No, I am definitely not saying that anybody should rely on Instagram for their marketing, because yeah, Instagram is free and you shouldn't rely on a free product for, you know, to, you know, push your content. You just shouldn't.
Yeah.
Right?
My whole
thing is that you – oh, you know, I lost my train of thought here.
It's infuriating.
Yeah. I mean, I just think my whole point is that if you're going to share on Instagram and you want people to see your pictures, hashtags is how you make it happen.
It's the only way to make it happen.
And for Instagram to say, no, don't rely on that. You have to come up with some other way. But what other way is there to, you know, to get your pictures in front of people? The hashtags is the way.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's
so, yeah, I mean, I agree with you too. If you're a business and all you do to market your business is post to Instagram, and then you complain that, like, oh, you know, I'm not seeing business, my engagement's dropping, this, that, and other thing, because Instagram has this stupid algorithm or they're, you know, they're messing with my stuff. Well, that's your problem.
Yeah.
That's not Instagram's problem. You know, you do need to come up with a, you know, a better marketing plan. Instagram is not a marketing plan.
Right. And for what I understand, I hear stories that, you know, some people, that's all they do is use Instagram to promote themselves.
Yeah. And for some people that works.
Yeah. Until it doesn't.
But if you're a photographer, and, you know, I don't know, like, the photographers that are complaining about this stuff. I'm going to guess that it looks like in some of the examples that they have in the Petapixel article, these are, like, kind of like wedding photographers. You got to do more than Instagram. You know, you can't just rely on Instagram for your marketing. There's got to be a lot more to it.
All right. I'm going to share with you something that I learned back when I was an aspiring author and trying to get my book sold. And
you wrote a book?
Yeah, I wrote three. Oh. And they're not very good. I'm not proud. But all right. So I'm going to ask you, this is going to be a complete trick question. As an author, where is the worst, absolute worst place to sell your book?
Oh, goodness. A bookstore?
Yes.
Is that really the answer?
That is the answer. That is the worst place that you could sell your book when you're an author. What you want to do is find like where what your story or your book is, you know, targeting and try to approach it from there. And then the bookstore, I mean, if you have a good enough name, then yeah, bookstore is fine. But bookstore is your last place where you want to properly sell your book. Likewise with photography. Now, as a wedding photographer, I post a lot of my stuff on Instagram, and I try to, you know, I am very meticulous in the hashtags that I put in. I try to think like one of my wedding clients, you know, what is a good thing to do? And the sad thing is that, you know, yeah, I get great traffic. I get people liking it and I get people to follow me, but they're all wedding photographers and they are completely useless to me. I just have, it's just infuriating.
No, and that is that, like, kind of the problem with social media in general for photographers. It's literally just photographers sharing pictures with other photographers. It's there's photographers that are getting work through social media.
Yeah.
Right? But it's not, you can't just post on Flickr or post in Instagram. You definitely have to go after, you know, other, like, if you're as a wedding photographer, you know, you have to kind of go after other avenues, like other wedding related things, and share your photos through those avenues. And it's just like, when you build relationships with hairstylists and flower people, you know, people that the florists and the wedding dress stores and stuff like that, you know,
it's just so many little places that you need to put yourself in.
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to go to other wedding photographers to promote yourself.
Right.
You know, and that's essentially what we're all doing on social media. You know, it's like, I'm not really looking for photo work, and I enjoy looking at photos from other photographers. You know, I like looking at other landscape photographers, and I enjoy lots of different types of photography. So to me, it's not really a big deal, but, probably, 8-9 years ago, I was trying to work as a photographer, and I was really just starting to get the hang of the whole like social media thing. And, you know, it didn't take me long to realize that the people that I want to see my photos are not the people that are seeing them. It's just other photographers, and they're not going to buy a print of mine.
Right. Absolutely. Dave in the chat room wrote something interesting. Unless you can use your podcast or other platform to promote your Instagram.
Yeah, I think that was a dig at like me. And
No. That's actually pretty interesting, because let me tell you a story, and I'm going to go off on a tangent here, but I think it eventually applies to what we're talking about. So it goes back to my career as an author. This is back in the early aughts. This is probably 1999-2000. Right. So we're going quite a ways back, you know, early in the internet. I knew that the internet was big. It was going to be big, and it was going to play a big role in the publishing world. And it just wasn't catching on yet. A lot of people were trying to do those e-readers, but all they were was LCD screens, and they weren't really that good. They were pretty big and cumbersome, you know, it was just really messy, but there was a potential future in this. And so I realized that if I want to try to promote myself the best I can, I would need to entrench myself into the publishing world somehow. And so my girlfriend at the time, who I'm no longer with, that's another story. But my girlfriend and I, my girlfriend loved reading. She was huge on reading. And I looked at her one day. I'm like, how would you like to be a book reviewer for a book review site? She said, that would be great. But what site would want me? I'm like, I will make it for you. And so I built her a website and created a book review community in the efforts to promote me when my time came.
It's a lot of work. Wow.
It was a lot of work to get from point A to point B. So while I'm coding the website and she's doing the reading and the content, I'm doing the back end stuff. And meanwhile, I'm, doing the finishing touches on my book. And this is back when print on demand was just starting out. This was like the iUniverse and all that other crazy crap. It was completely in its infancy at the time. And by the time my first book got, quote unquote, published, the print on demand scene completely collapsed.
Oh, jeez.
And so I was like, ah, damn it, missed it by this much. It was still big, but, the bookstores lost a lot of money because print-on-demand books are non-refundable. And so it's a lot of waste. A lot of people don't realize that you can go to the bookstore, take out a book or buy a book, read it that day, bring it back the very next day for a full refund, and the bookstore can then get a full refund back from the publisher. And so it was a good system they had, but print on demand wasn't allowing it. So they lost millions. But anyway, that's besides the point. So essentially I helped her grow a community of book reviewers and book readers just for the sole purpose of promoting me, to make me look good in front of publishers. It didn't work at all, but the byproduct was I created a pretty decent community. And then we broke up, and I had to kill the website, and I destroyed it Game of Thrones style.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was. I kind of regret that because I could have probably kept that going with another person providing the content. But c'est la vie. So then I decided, hey, let me start a photography site and podcast, and that seems to be going well.
Nice.
So Dave, yes, in the chat room. So Mark was doing the long con. Yes, it was a very long con that on paper looked good, but in practice it kind of fell short. It also didn't help that my book sucked royally.
What was that about?
They were romantic suspense novels, and I use that term loosely too.
What, the suspense part?
And the romantic part. Yeah, the whole thing. All right, so another little anecdote there. Recently, I decided to see if the books were selling anywhere. And because, I think I sold a total of only one got published through the whole iUniverse thing. And I think I sold a total of like maybe 80 copies, just under 80 copies, right?
Yeah.
And I went on to Amazon to see if anybody, if it was still out there, like, because they're stored in a warehouse somewhere. And I'm like, all right, is there one available? And sure enough, I found the book. It was out there. And not only that, but I found a used copy that was signed by the author. I'm like, I'm the author. And so I bought it for like, I think it was like something like $3 or something. And And so I bought it to see who I signed this to see if it was actually me. And yeah. It was. It was and the person who sold it was one of my book reviewers.
Your wife? Oh.
No, not my wife. Okay, hang on. I'm going to put this in the chat room. This is my book that I wrote. So hang on. I'm going to first throw this in the chat room, this link.
Have any of your books been translated to German?
Yeah, the word Scheiße already exists. I thought it was funny. So, this is my book. And that one star, that one 5-star rating that I got, that was posted by some Amy person, that's me leaving the review. I was such a shithead.
Oh, man. You used like a pen name and everything?
Yeah, I went by a pen name. I went by Mark Thomas. And complete crap. I nobody should read this at all.
Well, I will probably comply with that.
You're better for it. Learned a little about me. So yeah, Instagram. How about that?
I don't know. It's crazy.
I don't think it's – I think what the too long didn't read version of the story is I think they're just testing out different algorithms. I think they are trying to find a model that will be profitable for them, for people to promote their photos. I think that's all it is. And this hashtag thing came in, bit him in the butt. I know that a lot of photos aren't being shown chronologically in some cases, and this could be, you know, something along that lines. I don't think it's nefarious. I think it's corporate. I think it's just profit driven. That's just my two cents. And Dave in the chat room, yes, Tomasz. That's how I spell. That's the Polish way of doing Thomas. Tomasz.
Well, cool. We'll keep an eye on this, and who knows? Who knows what's going on?
Right on.
All right, what do you say we move into post pick of the week?
Sir, we can do just that as soon as I find the soundboard again.
Post pick of the week.
Go for it, sir.
Alrighty, so it is my turn, because selfishly I want to pick the winner. So this week we are ending the high dynamic range weekly photo challenge, and we will start a new challenge, which we'll get to in a minute. But we had quite a bit of submissions, and the cool thing about it was kind of seeing like what apps everyone's using to create their HDR images. There was quite a range of different apps being used. Some of them I'd never even heard of before, but we had Vivid HDR, and some people just use the HDR mode in the native camera. Whole bunch of different stuff. In any case, the image that I picked is by Greg McMillan, and his photo is it's quite a ways down in the pinned post or whatever. But for his photo, he says, "This tree looks like it's on a piece of land that's hovering over the water. Pro camera using Vivid HDR function processed with the dramatic setting." So basically, this picture is like a landscape picture. It looks like it's at like a lake or something to that effect, or some water in the foreground. And on the left side of the picture, there's this little strip of like grass and rock that's kind of jutting out into the lake with this tree that is kind of growing at an angle out towards the end of this little point of land. And just the way that this is kind of like sitting in the water, it literally looks like it's like an elevated piece of land that's actually like above the water. It's really kind of crazy looking.
It's awesome. And what causes that illusion is the shadow that's right next to that little inlet. I think there's something not visible on camera that's causing that strip of shadow. But by doing that, it looks like the island itself, that strip of land is causing the shadow. And it's just really, really cool.
Yeah, it is. So there was like a lot of things that I really liked about this picture. One, the dramatic setting that he used in vivid HDR really bumped up the saturation and the contrast in this picture like a lot. So it's really like an eye-popping photo. It's hard to scroll past this one and not stop to look at it. And the cool thing about that contrast is that there's a bunch of like puffy white clouds in the sky. So you have these like nice white clouds in this deep, deep blue sky. The other thing that's really kind of cool is that there's also kind of these wispier clouds that they're not blurred, but just the shape of them is almost like a blur. So it gives the picture kind of this sense of motion.
Motion and depth, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's really cool. And you know, the HDR really opened up some of the detail in that tree. You know, I think had this been just a regular photo, a lot of that tree would have been in deep shadow, almost like a silhouette. And had he tried to get the, you know, the details in the tree by making the image brighter, then he really would have lost a lot of the impact that those clouds have in the sky.
Yeah.
So I think this was a great scene to use HDR, and I really like the photo a lot.
It's really nice on so many levels, especially that optical illusion. That one just is the icing on the cake that it needed.
Yeah, definitely. All right, very good. So we are going to start a new challenge this week, and I think what I'm going to do is had things worked out normally where Joe would have been on the show, we were actually going to have a totally different topic today. But I think it worked out for the best that we end up pushing it back till next week. So what we're going to start today is our challenge for the next 2 weeks is going to be macro. I know we've done macro before, but we're gonna start that challenge this week. We will talk about it on the show next week, and then you'll have a whole nother week after that to keep posting.
Nice. Macro yeah. is always fun.
Yeah, macro is a good time.
Right on.
All right. Well,
I think we could call it an episode. What do you think?
I believe we can.
Sweet. Matt, tell the world where they can find you on this lovely interwebs.
All right. You can check me out on Instagram, IM, and Twitter at mhoffmanphoto.
Nice. And you can find me, Mark Sadowski, on Instagram. I am Mark Sadowski, Mark with a C, or Sadowski Photography, either or is good. And you can also find me on our YouTube channel. That's where I've been doing most of my work. Go to youtube.com/tinyshutter. And I've been doing a series there called Chasing Landscapes, as well as other helpful tips, tricks, and app reviews for Tiny Shutter. And yeah, we're up to 722 subscribers there, which, you know, in the long run, you know, YouTube world, that's pretty small. But for us, we have a great community, great comments. And I am very happy with the show, the channel success. And it's funny. We get like some videos we get have, you know, a couple thousand. And then I think the most we have is like 60,000 on some of the lens reviews, which is pretty remarkable. I'm like, very happy with those. So
no, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah. So the traffic is great. Subscribers are awesome. And yeah, you could also, if you want to participate in the photo contest that we have, or join the community, go to tinyshutter.com, and we have links there to the show notes as well as our Facebook group. We have leave a comment there, send us a message. There's so many ways you can participate. And also, just if all of those things sound too much, then you could always add hashtag tinyshutter to your Instagram photo to be part of our ever-growing library of awesome photos. So many ways you can participate. Come on in. We have an awesome community, and it's just been incredible with everybody's sharing and participation.
Awesome.
Right on. So let's do that. And hopefully next week, Joe will be back, and he will tell us many tales of the HBO and the signals that he rescued from the trees and power lines.
Yeah, it's something like that. I know he drives a bucket truck, and honestly, I thought he just like rescued cats and raccoons from trees.
He could do that. It's in his power to do that, and that's just up to him.
It's so that they don't chew the phone lines or something. I don't know. I really don't know what he does.
Who knows? And you know, we're not saying that he rescues cats from telephone poles. We're not saying that he dresses up like a superhero to do any of this. We're not saying that he wears a mask or goes by a great name. That would be a violation of the superhero's personal life, and it would jeopardize him with supervillains. So we're not saying any of that.
No.
None.
No, it's, not out loud.
That would be crazy.
That would be so insane. I don't know why we would do that or even lead people to even think along those lines. That'd be crazy.
Why would you even bring it up? I don't know. It's look. There's a chair.
Thank you for listening.
I think they fell for it.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Dumb bastards.
That is literally the worst ending to a show that I've ever done.
I think people will get a kick out of it.
This place is dead anyway, man. In shape.